Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back again on Monday nights. It is Off the Ropes, Jason and Chris, and we have a new guest with us today, Scott from Fargo, North Dakota. Some of you may have remembered him when he called in a couple weeks, I believe it was the week or so after the Bagwell interview. I was in Florida, and I couldn't make it to Fargo. And then Dustin was out there again for the, I believe it was the Maui Madness celebration, and had called in and passed on around to a bunch of people. So Scott is here with us, and he's a huge wrestling fan, I'm told. We've got Jason, as usual, as well as Dustin may pop in here every once in a while. So, guys, we have a great show planned today. Just for those of you who may be first-time listeners, and again, I read a lot of the comments on the website, a lot of comments in the chat box. People are loving it. It's one of our most listened-to shows, so we love that. Thank you for all that support. If you do want to call in, give us a chat. It is 713-955-0359. Again, 713-955-0359. Let me know how you feel. For those of you who are first-time listeners, and for Scott, who's first-time caller here, what we do, we go on at 10 o'clock Eastern time. I think it's 9 o'clock where he's at. And it's basically we go on during Raw, because Raw sucks so hard right now that we just take you through the end of Raw. We kind of bitch and complain a little bit. We don't have FCC rules. So we can curse. We can do things that we want on here. And we basically just bitch and complain and say how bad Raw is. And then we have some topics here and there and stuff that we talk about and some things. So, you know, that's something that we try to pride ourselves on. That's just a huge bitch fest between all of us. But we are here right now. Raw has been lackluster yet again, at least in my opinion. So, Scott, let me unmute you here on the board. Gotcha. Bada bing. Scott, I know Jason has a rant regarding a current WWE superstar. We'll let him get to his rant here in a minute. But Scott, just go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from. You know, you're a huge wrestling fan. What got you into wrestling? How long you've been watching? Stuff like that.
Well, let's see. I'm professionally, of course, known as the Icon, guys.
The Icon. Okay,
you know,
so what call you Icon?
All right, I've been a wrestling fan, well, all my life since I was 5 years old, I would say. I've watched it. I watched it on and off between 2004 and 2008. But then I got back into it. Now I don't miss it. But now it's really getting hard to watch because I don't know what they are doing. It is terrible.
Well, let me ask you, how old are you?
I am 38.
38. Okay, so not too much older, obviously, than Jason and myself. About 10 years older than me. I think Jason, you're approaching 30s here pretty soon. You then were watching during what a lot of people say is the best era, the Attitude Era. You were a big fan of.
Well, yeah, that's when I was into it hardcore. I was I was in college at the time, and we would throw WCW Monday Night throw parties at the basement of my dorm. And we actually got featured. I can't remember what episode that was. It was in 90, early 97 when they were doing the Monday Night Raw shows.
Mm-hmm.
And the WCW and the Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Wars were going on. And we actually sent in a tape, and they brought in a group to film us, so we had to move to a different dorm because there was too many people that wanted to join just to get on TV.
Oh, I hear you. Well, that sounds cool. Well, where'd you go to school? Did you go to school in North Dakota as well? Or?
Yeah, well, I graduated in 97 from high school from Fargo South, and then I went to NDSCS, where I was actually kicked out of school with a .24 grade average.
Okay. You didn't have to tell us that, but I appreciate your honesty.
Well, you know, it's nothing I'm proud of, but, you know, I figured what the heck. And then I decided to go back to school in 2004, and I got my degree in mass communication when I went down to Brown College in the cities, Twin Cities.
Okay, awesome. Well, so let me ask you then, and Jason, I promise we'll let you get to your rant in a second here. I don't know how often you've been listening to the show consistently, or if you were listening to the one that night when Dustin passed the phone along up there, but Jason and I think, have come to a conclusion that we feel like the Attitude Era, what people think of the Attitude Era, late 97 to about, some say it ended in 2002, some would argue it ended later than that, or earlier than that, rather. We think that the Attitude Era is arguably the best era for wrestling. Obviously, it's what put WWF at the time on the map, and you know, I'm watching the network here, and, you know, $9.99 a month, go on, get WWE Network. You can watch pretty much anything. And I tell you, 2000 was a great year, but I'm really enjoying 2002 right now because as far back as my memory goes, 2002 is actually what I actually remember watching. Like, there are events and things that I'll see happening, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember that. And, you know, I can't say that about things in 98, 99 because I was 10 and 11 years old. But in 2002, you know, when I'm 14, I'm like, okay, now I can remember some of this stuff. So, you know, to me, I think the Attitude Era really – and we'll get to that when we get to the returns. I think the Attitude Era really – it was over the top in some instances. It was a little bit goofy sometimes. But, Scott, tell me – or Icon, tell me if you agree with us here before we get to Jason's rant. I think what made the Attitude Era, what made the action, honestly, besides hitting him with steel chairs, besides the Hell in a Cell matches and the thumbtacks and the crazy, you know, Braun panties matches and you know, some of the stuff that they can't do today, besides all the actions, I think I would argue that the wrestling matches themselves might be a little bit better today. What I think made the Attitude Era was Jim Ross, JR.
Correct.
And you will hear JR through some of the returns when we get to the favorite returns segment here coming up. Hold on. Oh, I apologize. Oh, this damn cat, man. It's making me sneeze. Yeah, I'm talking to you. He's sitting there staring at me. I'm talking to you. So, you know, I just don't think that this current crew – you know, really gets it done. And being a play-by-play guy myself for football and basketball, I kind of tried to model myself after JR because, honestly, you know, you could watch Attitude Era on mute or you could watch this era, and really, to me, it's the same. The matches are the same. The fighting is the same. It was Jim Ross basically having an aneurysm every Monday night and every pay-per-view that made it, for me as a kid growing up, the highlight of my week. I wasn't the best student either back in those days, and I would make sure all of my homework was done, proofread, and checked as soon as I got off the bus on Mondays, because that was, if I missed Raw, I was depressed all week. Back then, we didn't have DVR, you know, and if I didn't finish my homework, my mom wouldn't let me VCH record it, so I had, or VHS rather, record it, so I had to get it all done so I could watch it, and Jim Ross really, to me, was an inspiration as to why I started doing DVR, why I was doing play-by-play, and really was the highlight of my childhood. So you would agree that Jim Ross really is why the Attitude Era was so, I guess, endearing to fans?
Well, I do agree with that. And the sad thing about JR is that, you know, he's not with the WWE anymore.
Unfortunately,
and,
no.
I mean, I don't have issues with Michael Cole, but it's just not the same. I mean, JBL, no. And I can't even think of the other guy.
Jackson.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's like, who, you know? I mean,
he reminds me of Coach went to be an announcer for a while. He's the same kind of enthusiasm that Coach had. I didn't like that either.
Right.
So,
when it,
you know.
When it came to Raw, the best announcers was JR and the King, you know?
Hey,
they
you know, Paul Heyman and JR did a bang-up job in on too. I kind of liked that whole thing during the Invasion storyline. I thought they went well together because the sort of the enemies doing the broadcast. I thought that kind of was an interesting little tidbit of commentary. But Jason, real quick, because we do have some topics to bang through, because I'm sure you know three of us are big wrestling fans. We can just talk reminiscing stories all night long here and not get to any topics. So what was the rant that you mentioned you're going to start with when you messaged me off air a little while ago? Jason, with us here?
I know I'm here.
No. Maybe he's not. All right, Jason, we'll get to your rant in a minute, but if you want to call in, perhaps. He just dropped off, so obviously he can hear us. I think he's just going to call in from his cell phone. Sometimes he has mic issues, computer issues. So hopefully he'll call in and get to his rant in a second, because usually it's Dustin doing the ranting, not Jason. So I'm actually anxious to hear this. But
let me ask you this about the attitude.
Yeah.
When do you think it actually started? Because I have a pinpoint of when it started, but
You're talking Attitude Era, right?
Yeah, the Attitude Era, right.
Okay. Real quick, let me just answer that question in a second. Jason, you with us, buddy?
Yeah, I was having a little problems with the computer. Sorry about that.
That's all right, technology, man. We'll get to your rant in a second. Scott just asked me a question here, so we weren't sure when you were coming back on. So I would say the Attitude Era, to me, based on my memory, began, I would say, with – I believe it was 96 with the Austin 316 thing. I can't for the life of me remember the pay-per-view right now, but when Austin started the whole 316 dress thing, he sort of brought his character into the limelight, and everyone's like, oh, my God, he said ass on television. Oh, my God. You know, and people started to be like, wow, you know, he's so BA. You know, he's such a you know, a hardcore guy, and oh, my God. And that's, I think, to me, when it started. And then ended – I would say probably
Cena.
03. Yeah, probably when Cena debuted. Although, I don't know. Cena was pretty.
Do you think the Attitude Era is directly related to Stone Cold? Like, are you only saying that it started with that Austin 316 says, I just kicked your ass? Like, do you think that was it? Because I think about a year ahead, before that, Shawn Michaels had a title match. He heard that Hogan was talking smack over in WCW about how their numbers sucked. And Michaels, after the match, when he was doing his pose, he made fun of Hogan, did the Hogan pose, and then flicked the camera off. And I think that's when it started. Because when you start going through the camera at the other company, I think that's the Attitude Era.
Yeah, but you look at a lot of the other matches besides that and the other storylines that were written in, the program stayed the same. I mean, just because one guy did something that may be looked at as Attitude Era-esque wasn't necessarily the Attitude Era as a whole. I think after Austin came out and said
that. No, but I think that's when it started. That was the official lighting of the candle. When you got your top superstar at the time flicking the camera off and doing the Hogan pose, like, that's undeniable.
Yep.
That's such a, I heard what you said, go F yourself. Like, I'm
well,
sorry.
Also
like,
could have been,
that's it.
Well, it also could have been the Montreal Screwjob, too, in 97.
Right.
That
that's what I was
going to
say. That's what I was going to say, the Screwjob.
That's exactly my thought. It started right after Montreal because they started, you know, that's when they started mocking Bret Hart. And then Stone Cold really, you know, him and Bret Hart had great matches from King of the Ring on. But my thought is when it started was after the Montreal Screwjob because that's when they started going over the top. Bret Hart left. They started mocking him and everything that WCW was doing. And then it led up to WrestleMania with Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels. Then after that match...
And Austin won and Mike Tyson... It was the Mike Tyson one, right?
Exactly. And then after that is when...
You might as well have turned the volume dial up to 10 after that point.
Right. And then
Pretty much,
said, we're just going to go after WCW. We're going to go right to their door with the DX Army, and that's... And that was over for WCW at that point. From that point on,
I like that analogy. I mean, I think that, you know, WCW was and correct me if I'm wrong here, and Jason, feel free to chime in as well. I think WCW was quote unquote Attitude Era long before WWF was, and I say that because I know Hogan personally. I've met him. My aunt knows him personally. You know, I've met him several times. I have a place down in Tampa, so I go to his store a lot, and I've been on his boat and things like that. So I know Hogan a lot. I think the NWO in WCW, which started around 95, really got them to the next level. I remember watching WCW before I even – because I knew Hogan, my family knew Hogan, before I ever even watched a WWF program. I watched WCW. And they were always a little bit more over the top. They were always a little bit more intense. There was more blood. There was more, you know, he screwed him over storylines than there was in WWF at the time. So I didn't really start watching both programs until probably 98, when Kane debuted. I watched that because my buddy told me, oh, man, you got to watch WWF. So I watched like a couple weeks before Kane debuted, and then I watched the Bad Blood pay-per-view. And then from there I was like, oh. Well, that's cool. They don't have anybody like Kane in WCW, you know, and I started watching both programs, recording one, VHS recording one, and watching the other one, and then watching the other one afterwards. So I would do that, and, you know, it was interesting to me. But, I mean, would you feel that maybe WCW attributed to it before anything in WWF did?
Well, I do agree. And, it's interesting you mentioned that you'd watch one and you tape the other. I actually
different
started
TVs, yeah.
Yeah, I actually started doing that in 96. I would tape WWE because it was taped anyway, and I would watch WCW, and then I would read, my parents would get so upset with me because I'd be up till 1, 2 in the morning watching nothing but wrestling. And
I hear you.
It's like, Mom, Dad, it's wrestling. Just, you guys can have me the rest of the week. I'm watching wrestling tonight. It's Monday night. It's wrestling night.
Well, my parents got pissed too. SmackDown started, and I was in front of a TV, because then they started WCW Thunder to compete with SmackDown, and I was watching both of those and taping one, watching the other one, and then my parents were like, Jesus, this is two nights a week, and then on a week when it was a pay per view, it was three nights a week, because it was two pay per views as well. So I was just like,
you never watched
Saturday
morning?
I used sometimes, but I was a big cartoon kid, so I watched a lot of that. Plus. Usually I would watch TV in my parents' room when I was a real little kid. But yeah, I started watching Saturday morning when I was old enough for myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, Jason, real quick, we'll get into this. We have a really good attitude. I have a discussion with some of our favorite returns and things. But what was your Dean Ambrose event you had, bud?
You know, Steph Curry just won the MVP award. And I feel like Dean Ambrose deserves the MVW award, Most Valuable Wrestler. Right, he's carrying the program. Ever since, I would say, a little before WrestleMania, he's really been carrying the stuff as Roman Reigns continues to drop the ball, continues to be terrible on the mic, continues to be terrible in the ring. Why is Dean Ambrose not getting the love and support that he deserves? I feel like Dean's eventually going to see what's going on, and he might follow Wade Barrett out the door. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Possibly.
I really feel like he's carrying the company. With
well, let me touch on this. You know, I had an epiphany the other day. I know that's a big word for me, but we had an epiphany the other day. And what that was I'm thinking to myself, because every week on this show and every week on the message boards and the forums, people bitch to complain about Roman Reigns and how boring he is in the ring, how bad he is on the mic, and Dean Ambrose this and Dean Ambrose that. You know, this could actually be a genius move by WWE Creative instead of a stupid move. And what I say that is because they might be going reverse face here. And when I say that, it's not a full heel turn. But what they might be doing is instead of actually having Roman do a heel turn, like a traditional heel turn where he, you know, comes out and screws over buddies or he, you know, joins up with a rival group, what he might be doing is they might be trying to shove him down our throats so much that we just hate him so much because he's just there and he's getting all the opportunities and he's getting the belts and he's just – they are trying so hard to push him on us that it's going to push us away from him. And therefore, he's going to be a heel by default because we all hate him so much and we're going to boo him at pay-per-views. We're going to boo him in live performances when he really didn't even do anything wrong in terms of kayfabe anyway.
Well, Chris, it's only natural. Think about when he won the title, right? Was it at WrestleMania or Rumble or something? He wins
Rumble the first time, yeah.
No, he won, not the title. I meant he won the Royal Rumble and it was a booing crowd. Everyone was stunned.
Yeah.
The Rock was stunned. The Rock was like, he couldn't believe it. He's like, how are you going to boo him? So you knew then, at that moment, that was 6 months ago, that the universe didn't like Roman Reigns. So at that moment, as a company, WWE had to be like, well, why are we going to push this? They clearly don't like him. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're doing what you're saying. They're just going to go and they're just going to support him. They might as well make him like an authority type guy, because when they came out and what's best for business and for WWE Network for $9.99 and they went infomercial, they were doing all that just to annoy everybody to further the heel thing. So that is what they're doing. That's just facts.
Oh, so my epiphany then. Okay. All right. Well, I thought I was smart for a second there. I guess I was wrong. No, Jason, I do feel that he actually, I don't feel he's carrying the company. No, because right now I feel like this company is on life support. At least in terms of
oh my God, are you kidding me? Dean Ambrose is doing – he's the only one who's doing anything. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but I don't like the Ambrose storyline.
He is carrying the company. You can't tell me that Shawn Michaels didn't carry the company back in the 90s. The company was awful.
He
was
the
only thing.
You can't carry – yeah, but he was also world champion. You can't carry the company if you're not the champion because
you're
the
cream. Yeah,
but
you want to know why that's irrelevant? Because Cena proved that when he had the U.S. title – Rollins had the world title, and people cared more about the U.S.
so
title.
He was engraved in the company by then. He was already 14 years deep at that point. I mean, he was so loved that
tell
it didn't
me
matter
one
with
superstar
him.
On the current roster that's not hurt that is carrying the company other than what?
I don't think
say,
anybody's
Ambrose.
Carrying. I think they're treading
think
right above
Ambrose.
Water.
No, I think, and I'm telling you right now, if Ambrose wasn't there, they'd be bankrupt.
Think about this. Dean Ambrose is going to have a match with Chris Jericho in a steel cage match. At some point, you would think the world title would have been in the steel cage match because you have all the elements to keep people outside. But they have so much more faith in Dean Ambrose and Jericho that gave them that kind of spot. That to me,
I think Jericho can hang it up, personally.
Okay, well, why is Dean Ambrose not getting a bigger title push than he should? I mean, it is ridiculous, and you guys are right. I mean, and to be honest with you, I like Roman Reigns. I do not know why he's getting booed. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But
he's not. I think I know why. I'll let you finish your point in a second. I think I know why, because you're the world champion. You look at the history of the world champions, the out there world champions that were great on the microphone, that were great in the ring, that were great at selling moves. I mean, starting with Stone Cold, with The Rock, with Triple H, with those champions you've had, Cena, you know, Flair, those guys were great on the microphone. They were great at selling things. They were exciting in the ring. I mean, Roman Reigns has his finishing move is a punch, you know? So I don't think he's got that wow factor that everybody's looking for in the head guy of a company that has been around for so long and has wanted excellence for so long.
What's the overall target market of the WWE right now, Chris?
Kids. Children.
Kids. So if it is kids, then all of the stuff that annoys you and I is irrelevant. Right, all the lame stuff, him doing his dumbass crap before he gives you a spear.
Sure, I suppose.
His stupid ass cock his forearm up before he punches you in the head. That stuff annoys me, but apparently to a 7 or 8 year old kid, it's the greatest thing in the world. So my point
and
is if
it
that's
is.
True, if this company is truly geared towards children, then he's doing exactly what he needs to do. And his little tweet that you read a long time ago where he's like, you know, you can boo me if you're a 40-year-old man, whatever, but you're still a 40-year-old dude buying tickets or whatever it was he said. So he knows the scale. But if you were to reanalyze, they're not geared towards kids. As much as people think this company is, it's not geared towards children. It's children friendly. This company's target market is a 35 to 40-year-old male. So in reality, all the things that he does that annoy you and I are in fact the reason why he's getting booed. The kids aren't out there going boo in their deep baritone voices. No, those are full-grown adults that think he sucks. So this is the problem. He is not he's not relatable to any adult. Okay, why was Stone Cold so relatable? He hated his boss. He wanted to drink a beer. He was kind of rednecky. He swore. Like, that's stuff that everybody does. There's nothing about Roman Reigns that's relatable. His character isn't. His look isn't. The way he speaks isn't. What he does in his downtime isn't. They even tried to do it a little bit with him and Ambrose when Ambrose was like, yeah, man, you know, when we're going to go and we're gonna go drink some beers later. And it literally got shot and muffed out immediately because everyone's like, get the hell out of here, dude. Roman Reigns doesn't – nah, he's not like that. You buy it as,
you
buy it from Ambrose. You don't buy it from Roman.
What's up, Jason?
No, I was going to say what's funny about the WWE product and the company is they market their money off of advertisement. And I'm looking at the crowd at Raw, and it's pretty much the same crowd I look at when I go to a live Raw. Everybody's wearing either Bootio's T-shirt or a Kevin Owens T-shirt or Dean Ambrose T-shirt. Look at the crowd. All you see is Bootio's in the background. So I don't. And the reason they would never turn Cena heel is because he's so great in merch. Roman Reigns is doing none of those things. So,
well, look at it this way, though. They made DX heel. They made Triple H heel. Well, Triple H probably, arguably, in my opinion, one of the greatest heels of all time, if not the greatest. People would buy his little whatever that it looked to me like the symbol that was on the Germany tanks of World War II, that little cross symbol that he had. People would have those shirts. When Undertaker went heel, people were still buying American Badass. So I don't necessarily think that it is they're wearing the shirts because these guys
are
big
faces. It's a huge take in their royalties. CM Punk said it on the Colt Cabana podcast when they forced him to turn heel. He lost millions of dollars just in merch. He was killing Cena. He was destroying Cena in merchandise. And then they forced him to turn heel when he had his match with The Undertaker. And then when The Rock came back and he dropped the title, and he said he lost millions just because of that heel turn. So while I think that I agree that Cena will never go heel, I think it would truly be best for business. And this was a moment back years ago when Nexus was out and they were trying to get Cena to join. That would have been the most exciting storyline I have seen in the last 10 years. If you got the baby face of the franchise to go Nexus, even for a month, just
in
be
the attitude
there, just be a lackey. Yeah, just be a lackey, be forced to succumb and follow Wade Barrett, and then all of a sudden finally resist and go back to baby. Like, there's so many different angles they could have done, and it's been done a couple times before, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So they could – if Cena – I'm telling you, he'll never do it, and that's why WWE is cushy right now, and that's why WWE isn't as great as it could be right now, because you get guys like Cena that refuse to go heel. And I'm really afraid that Rollins is going to come back and just pick up where he left off, which is terrible. I think Rollins is going to come back. They won't do anything cool. It won't be a reunited Shield. It won't be Rollins, you know, interfering in some epic way. It won't be Rollins out of nowhere showing up. It's going to almost be, I think it's going to be a very scripted, very predictable, like, even almost like what would be terrible would be someone announcing it at the beginning of the show. And tonight at 10 o'clock, the return of Seth, like I could totally see that dumb graphic up. And then at 10 o'clock, Rollins comes. Like, come on. The greatest returns of all time. Like, you're going to hear the clips that we all picked.
We'll get to
them
in a minute. Yeah.
The majority of them were spontaneous. They shocked you. So we
but
can't
also,
go back.
The majority of them
back to
Jim
the days
Ross
where we
selling the shit out of them, though.
Yeah,
the majority of it was Jim Ross having an aneurysm every time it happened.
Yeah,
I don't think
we
Michael
all know
Cole's
that Ross
that.
Ain't coming through that curtain anytime
no,
soon.
Of
so we
not.
Gotta make
no,
we gotta
not,
we gotta get over that.
But here's the thing though, Dustin. I mean, these guys with what they're doing now, I think that back in the Attitude Era days. And even after then, they were so – like, you and I are sports fans. I kind of don't know how many sports you watch or what other sports you follow, but
I
know –
Well, I follow every single sport except for NASCAR.
Okay.
I don't blame you there.
You don't live in down south. So.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not into NASCAR. I don't get in touch with my redneckery, you know.
Well,
and
let me ask you, do you have a couch on your front yard and drink PBR shirtless in the summertime?
No.
Well, then no, you won't like NASCAR. My question is, though, for Dustin, is where was I going with this? Oh, okay. If you watch a lot of sports, you know, especially in basketball. Basketball is where you see this the most, and in college basketball you see this. A team that is deep, that has depth, okay, on their roster, if a starter goes down – or if a starter falls out of the game or something, you have somebody that's reliable that comes off your bench and steps up. Now, it's not quite the same because these guys weren't bench players, but look what happened back in 99 when Stone Cold went down with that injury, okay? Everybody's thinking, oh, geez, Survivor Series. You know, they did the whole thing with him getting run over and the whole thing, and everyone's like, oh, geez, WWF's going to die now. He's their star. Well, 2000? Between The Rock, the rivalry between The Rock, which was really his year that he really came up, between The Rock and Triple H, and how intense the Triple H Cactus Jack McFoley rivalries got, and you know how intense when Undertaker came back at the end of 2000 or towards the end of 2000, there was some awesome. In fact, my return that I'm gonna be picking here in a minute was from the year 2000. There was some good ass programming in the year 2000, and they didn't have Megastar. They didn't have Stone Cold. They lost a couple other guys. Owen Hart had died earlier that year, unfortunately. They had lost out Ken Shamrock. The DX wasn't really doing what they were doing in 97-98. 2000 was really – it was the Attitude Era, but it was really a whole new era. It was the Rock era. It was the Triple H era, the McMahon-Helmsley regime era. Now, if one of these guys goes down, and I mean one of the stars goes down – and if Roman Reigns is out, Cena, we saw what happened when he's been out. Now Seth Rollins, even though I'm not a huge Seth Rollins guy, but he went down. Look what's happening to the programming. Okay, they don't have the same sort of depth on this roster to be able to recuperate from a star going down like they did back then. Because back then, obviously Austin goes down. Everyone's like, oh, he's holding breath. And 2000, in my opinion, was probably one of the best years of the Attitude Era, at least in my opinion. So overall, with all the superstars, so – you know, I think that's one of the things that they're struggling with right now is quality talent all the way around. And they've been struggling with a quality announced team for years, at least in my opinion. So that's really what it is. Hmm?
I have another point.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and I know I'm segueing into what we're going to talk about a little later, but, you know, we mentioned there's four guys coming back. Bray Wyatt, John Cena, Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. Okay,
correct.
What does the WWE usually do when a guy that's been out for so long, when he comes back, if they were a babyface, they become a heel and vice versa.
That's true. They usually have them switch completely switch gears. That is
yeah,
often what
you're
happens.
Telling me. So now you got a babyface and Cena that's going to come back as heel. Bray Wyatt's going to come back wearing pink and be a good guy. Randy Orton's going to be a good guy, and Seth Rollins is going to be a good guy. I mean, can't use that logic, though, unfortunately, with these four guys. I get it, and you make sense completely, but it really doesn't with these four.
If I was booking the wrestling, I would make Seth Rollins come back, win Money in the Bank. That starts the feud between Shane and Stephanie. Stephanie rides behind Seth Rollins. Because eventually, at some point between now and SummerSlam, there's going to be a fight between Shane and Triple H for total.
I mean, I was even looking at the last, I think it was like the last 8 years or so when it was the SmackDown champion and the Raw champion, the world that you had the WCW belt and then the WWE belt. I missed that. I missed that just because of the fact that we could have a couple champions, and that was awesome. So it's like that. I think they should bring back the dual champ thing. I think that was at least something to get you by, because you knew if you didn't like one of the world heavyweight champions, maybe you could invest in the other. Chris, who's co-starring tonight's show? I hear a chick in the background.
Oh, it's hold on, I'm gonna put myself on mute. Give me 1 second.
You guys there?
Yeah, no, we're here. I don't know what Chris is doing. I think he's at a strip club or something again.
No, I got it. I sent it back to the kitchen. It's all good. So.
There is more titles that they need to bring back. Yes, world championship. They need to do that, but there's a few other titles they could bring back too.
I miss the European title. I miss the
hardcore title.
The hardcore title would be great. I don't think you need a light heavy. You don't need the cruiserweight thing, because we don't have enough small guys anymore. That was back in the day when you had, like, you know, what's his face, Mysterio and the Chavo and all those guys.
Well, guys like not Sin Cara, but who's this guy who's the current
Kalisto.
He would be a cruiserweight contender. Am I wrong there? I think Kalisto could definitely be in the cruiserweight division from back in the day. He was just like a lot of those guys, Psychosis.
I just
and
think
guys
when
in
they,
WCW.
Yeah, but you think about it. Jericho was one at one point, so it's like, you know, at some point you got to think like that was when, I mean, the industry was full of talent, and you had these incredible guys. But it's not like that anymore. So I wouldn't bring that belt back. But I agree with you, hardcore and European.
I was watching some of the 2002 storylines, and you know, the hardcore title, you know how it was the 24-hour rule thing that it said. You know, there was some crazy matches where, you know, somebody would pin him for the hardcore title, and then somebody would randomly run in, and then somebody else would randomly run in. I mean, at one point Trish Stratus won it, Terry Runnels won it. I mean, announcers could win it. You know, referees and anybody could win that belt, and it was a 24. It was just mayhem, and oftentimes you'd see 3, 4, 5 guys or girls in the ring at one time, fighting for the title. And it was just crazy. It was chaos, and I think it was fun. It made it interesting, at least to say the least. And you could pin him. I mean, you could pin him in the parking lot and win the belt. So I liked that idea, but obviously I know with the whole PG thing that they couldn't do anything like that. It would just be too much blood and too intense. To make it believable, they couldn't do something like that. So, but I do miss the belt. Yes.
Okay.
What was your point though? Before I cut you off.
Somebody has a text notification.
I didn't know that. I did hear that. Scott.
My other point. You know, the thing with John Cena. You know, you mentioned about him turning heel. Another reason why they don't. Is because of all the stuff he does for charities.
True.
You know, I mean, that's really
but
the
Scott,
only...
I have a problem with that, because that's like saying, you know, you're gonna tell me the Undertaker never did charity. You're gonna tell me that, you know, all the heels in history, Hogan when he was in NWO, you know, like you can't tell me that just because you're a heel, you're not participating in the same Make a Wish BS. It's just because it's simply you're standing at the edge of the pool and you don't want to jump in. That's all it is. They have no idea what would happen. And they don't, you know, they don't want to chance having anything weird happen. It just makes no damn sense, because you can't tell me that a guy with his mic ability, even though I hate his guts, he wouldn't be able to recover. I mean, give me a break, dude. He's entering the edge of this is the twilight of his career. So this is the time where you do take some Hail Marys. You do take some shots and you see what happens, because you could easily, if it doesn't land, give him a 3-week vacation. And then all of a sudden he comes back and he's babyface.
Look at Stone Cold. Stone Cold was a big heel during the Invasion storyline. And all of a sudden after that Survivor Series,
and that was
when they lost,
ever. Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him coming down.
Yeah, he came back. He came back as I don't want to say a face, but it was as if
just
that whole
Stone
thing never
Cold.
Happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and
it never happened.
He was a heel, and they were still cheering him every time the music hit. So, yeah. You know, sometimes, yeah, it's easily recoverable for guys who are big names like Cena. I don't think a guy like Cesaro could do it, honestly, could recover from it. I think, you know, guys who are mid-card stars, they get defined by a role. But guys who are big-time stars can easily recover from one of those swings, for sure.
Correct.
Somebody's got the television on in the background. That's actually – I hope you're watching Raw because it's actually really it's pretty lackluster at the moment. We're going to segue here into Icon brought up the points of Cena coming back, Wyatt, Orton, Rollins. Which one are we most excited for? Obviously, I think Dustin's going to – it's got to be Dustin. I mean, I know he's a big jock rider for Seth Rollins. For me, I definitely think, you know, not Cena. I'm sick of Cena at this point. I'd like to see Randy Orton come back just because I thought he athletically was a class above of anybody on this roster. I love the RKO, how spontaneous the RKO is, and I love how he kind of has that I don't give a you-know-what attitude about a lot of things. So I'm excited to see Orton come back. I hope he's as good as he was beforehand. Now, what about you, though, Jason? Who are you really, of those four that are coming back, who are you most anxious to see?
I hate to admit this, but I miss John Cena. I'm looking forward to his return.
Okay.
Just to see where they put him in the mix. Like, don't have him go chase back the U.S. title. Let him put him back in the heavyweight championship contention. Let him get that record, 16 title. And let's see him and Roman Reigns do some work, interaction, something.
Match Ric Flair? With in terms of the title,
he's got to match it. He deserves it.
Okay, I like the call there. I mean, they got to do something because right now the most exciting matches and the most exciting soap opera storylines they have right now
the
are all the chick
one.
Stuff. they've got all the chick stuff. I mean, right now I think there's been two or three pay per views where the women's matches were the best match. And that can't happen. I mean, no offense to women, but that can't happen on a company like this. So we're talking about who we would like to see as a return here. Chat box is blowing up. We're leaving comments. We got to love that. But don't be shy. Give us a call, 713-955-0359. Talk to us a little bit about it. Some of the best returns of all time. We have a couple of clips. We'll go in order here, though. Let me refresh this. Did I give us one?
The Outlaws and those leather pots. The smack is being laid down on the rock. Courtesy of the new age Outlaws.
The Outlaws have
been
a
double. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What the hell is this? Stephanie, get over here. We got a
power.
We got the power. We've lost power here. We're live.
What the hell
is this?
Sarah, what did you do?
I didn't do anything, Stephanie. I promise.
Who's that?
I believe it was June of 2000, I believe, anyway. That is during the whole storyline where Kane was in love with Tori.
and X-Pac and DX. This is after Kane had joined up with DX, and they kind of screwed him over a little bit, made him look foolish, and then took him out. And it was Kane coming back after several weeks off of WWE programming. And the way – I mean, it's almost like you have to watch the clip really to feel the full effect of it. But the way that JR sold it, I mean, obviously we know now.
I absolutely agree with you.
I mean, we knew.
You get goosebumps both ways, but if you can see it, it's even better. But for sure, it sounds awesome with JR.
Yeah, I mean, we knew.
JR. I missed that.
Exactly. And, you know, he knew Kane was coming back. Hands down, there's no question.
Well, I thought you told me that he used to tell them. You told me that he used to tell creative not to tell him what was going to happen so he could be authentic.
Well, maybe that was the case. I believe
I heard that as well. I heard that as well. He didn't like producers to tell him stuff.
All right. Well, in certain instances, he knew who was going to win. They didn't know how they were going to win, you know? And, for instance, he would know that Stone Cold was going to win the belt that night, but he didn't know how it was going to happen. It was a shot, a stunner, when the stunner was coming, things like that. So maybe he knew, maybe he didn't. I just think that the way that he sold it, you would generally like, oh, my God, you know, it's Kane.
Second
and
none.
Yeah. So, but what was Icon's return?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce tonight's guest host for Monday Night Raw. He is a 5-time WWE champion and WWE Hall of Famer, making his first appearance on Raw in over 12 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Bret the Hitman Hart!
I guess hell froze over. I know there's a lot of people out there that are wondering why I'm here tonight and why now. But, you know, I've had a long time to think about things. It's been 12 years since I've been back in the WWE. And it's an amazing feeling.
You cannot an entrance and a return like that.
That's true. I was actually waiting for commentary, but then you know what? That's one of those ones where you're watching it on television and you're just dumbfounded, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, and you just watch in awe as the guy that, you know, in you grew up watching, you know, now he's great. He walks down and walked down that ramp, and you're like, and I think King, Jerry the King, called the way he could in that scenario. But yeah, definitely a split one as well. And I like a bit of a different over the top crazy, and you know, one of them was more just kind of awe inspiring. And I love they were a little bit different there. And in that, like, JR maybe ruined it, because JR would have been like, oh my God, Bret Hart, blah, blah, and it would have been too much. So I definitely like that. Good choice. I think. How much do you want? I don't know if I have a idea, but if there's one you can mention, I can find it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, when Bret Hart finally came back, and the reason why it's my favorite. You know, he was always my favorite wrestler growing up, and I thought what they did with the Montreal Screwjob was unnecessary.
Absolutely unnecessary.
Even though that Bret Hart did help me dislike Canada for a long time, especially Winnipeg, but you know, just him coming back and you hear the crowd pop, it's just one of those moments that just, you know.
Now,
it,
think
it,
U.S.
It,
crowd
it makes me speechless. Say that again.
Oh, man. Was best crowd or fucking crowd?
I don't know. You guys are breaking up. I don't know if it's my phone or your phone, but.
Is that a Canadian crowd or you crowd?
Yeah, I can't. You guys are breaking up.
Chris, that's all Chris. He's asking if it's a U.S. crowd or a Canadian crowd. I don't know where they were. Probably didn't have to be in Canada, to be honest with you.
Well, no, it was at the Nutter Center.
Oh, okay.
Where he won his first King of the Ring.
Okay, gotcha. I remember that.
So yep. I think what Chris was trying to get to, but he was kind of going in and out, was Jason, you didn't get back to us early enough for us to get a clip for you, but do you have a favorite return moment that you can at least tell us before we get into mine?
All right, I'll give you it real quick. The first ever Monday Night Raw that I ever attended was at Madison Square Garden. It was the night Triple H returned after the quad surgery. He came back. The crowd, to me, that was like one of my favorite Raws of all time. The crowd was into it. Triple H looked huge. He was jacked up to like never before. That was definitely the best shape he ever was in. And you know,
I still remember
30.
That. He had like a leather and jean jacket.
Yep.
And thank you.
Oh man, I wish I would have gotten a hold of you guys earlier. You guys could upload that clip. But to me, that was one of my top two favorite moments of Raw ever, and I was happy I was there. I was really happy I was there.
All right, well that's an awesome one. Mine is the type of clip that tells a story, and there's so much that happens in this clip that everybody needs to just really listen, and the crowd also tells you a lot of what goes on in this. And that one right there, the best part of that is listening to the crowd, because Cena raises the belt and does the champ is here thing, and then Punk's like, no, 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 see, the real champ's here. And then when he raised his arm up, the crowd went even higher. That was the greatest moment, I think, of that return, because that was the ultimate sign of, you know, we know who the real champion is. And I love it when stuff like that happens.
You had to understand, though. I mean, I loved that moment, but would have been even better watching it.
Oh, for sure.
And now Charlotte is out. And boy, for a tall girl, boy, Charlotte, she got the good flare jeans, I'll tell you.
I will say one thing about Charlotte. She does look good. And she can wrestle.
Yeah.
Jason,
yeah,
you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, we got you.
Charlotte, that belt looks good, though. That belt looks good.
It doesn't look good. It looks even better on her, though. No, I actually have one. I'm just going to upload it. I think it's one that didn't be uploaded in here. But I mean, all were great moments. All were great returns. There's been some great returns as well. But let me... I know that Dustin and Jason have heard this clip so many times, but when it comes to really selling a storyline and really, putting the emotion into a storyline when you hear something, I think this leads back to the JR thing. And I know, Icon, you were a big JR fan as well, but tell me that at your age now, this doesn't give you goosebumps.
What happened?
I don't know. It's playing. What is awesome? That's not. Why is that?
So I'm assuming Chris was, before he decided to take off real quick here, I'm assuming he was going to talk about when the, you know, Stone Cold came back and had the whole Disturbed theme, and it was kind of an updated, Austin 316. And I mean, I thought that was cool too. I was a big fan of when Stone Cold ended up going super bad guy. I feel like that was kind of after Jason. You remember that TV show, that awesome
hey, sorry
TV
guys,
show
it booted
on
me,
USA?
Continue.
That was what was it called? He did like a guest spot on USA. I think it was like Nashville something. I don't know. And he was like
I remember that.
Yeah,
something Bridges.
Yeah, something Bridges. You're right.
Nash Bridges with Cheech Marin and. Don Johnson.
Yeah, Don Johnson, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I was like, well, Chris is playing the updated Stone Cold thing, so that must be what he was alluding to when he kind of like was more when he was that urbanite, he was more with the times. I personally like the Disturbed entrance way better than the original. I just thought it had way more it seemed more mean, like very vicious, like just angrier. And I thought I'm all about that first pop, you know, those entrances, the first 5 seconds you hear it, and they're either going to make you or break you. Brock Lesnar is a great one, that dun dun dun, that big bassy like entrance, and you just hear it and you're like, oh, sick. Same thing with, I didn't really like Kane so much because I didn't like the organs, but, Taker with the gong, that was a big one. Shawn Michaels had that, you know, that noticeable entrance. Triple H, that huge guitar, you know, DX.
And Bret Hart,
stuff.
Too, with the electric guitar.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. The Bret Hart entrance didn't do it justice, that clip, because that first 5 seconds of his music is the best part of his entire song. You know, the guitar that's the screeching guitar. So I was
just
like.
I don't like the new version, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do. What I do like though is how what's her face Charlotte has incorporated, you know, has incorporated what's his face's theme into hers. I like that. That was pretty
Flair,
cool.
Yeah.
I think what's her face does that too. The heart.
Yeah,
relative.
Natty
does that too. Yeah.
Hey, so can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, buddy.
Okay, all right. I got booted.
I
don't know why. Maybe.
Reincarnation.
I think maybe.
Sorry, guys.
No, I think I got booted. I think I overloaded my computer and got booted because I was trying to upload something. I was trying to upload something at the same time as talk, and that's why I was breaking up and stuff. So I'm signing back in right now through the actual microphone itself. I'm on my phone.
Yeah, you sound much better now.
Hold on one second.
Now we get two.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Good.
Beautiful. Okay.
25 minutes left. We finally got some solid audio quality. Here we go.
All right. We are going to jump into the spicy sort of love affair going on. Dustin, I figured in the returns department, one that you would appreciate being a, let's say,
little bit
groupie,
of an echo. Little bit of an echo.
Let's say being a groupie. For Shawn Michaels, I would say this is something that you would appreciate. Hopefully it plays. If not, screw it. We'll go to the next thing.
That is Mitch. Mitch Trippler just flew out here. Mitch drunk. My God! Shawn Michaels! Shawn Michaels is back! That's why Mitch flew out! HBK is here, King! Mitch was thrown out! I can't believe this! The spirit bottle is about to break Triple H's neck! It's Sweet Chin Music on Mix! And Michaels, bad knee and all! Michaels in the ring! The showstopper is starting to show! This crowd has come unglued here! Michaels and Triple H!
I just figured that would be – that was the other one I was trying to play before, and then we'll get off returns. By the way, Icon 3, clip-heavy show. We don't often play this many clips of different things, but I figured with the returns and the reminiscing and how bad Raw is, what else is there to do? But normally there's more discussion and less listening to clips. But
I'll tell you what. I am glad to be part of this. You know, I'm glad that you guys have – you guys actually know what real talent is, and that would be me, you know.
Ah. Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
You guys are one of the few people that actually use my talents, which is, you know, which is high steps for you guys because you guys know what real talent is. You know where to find it in Fargo, North Dakota, next to Carson Wentz and Roger Maris, of course. But.
Oh, of course, of course. Now, for anybody who's missing Raw right now, Ric Flair, is it me or does Flair, like, he just belongs in a nursing home at this point? He's
Can
doing
he
the whole...
Go.
Yeah, just hang it up, you know?
Please.
He's bouncing off the ropes, doing his whole spiel from back in the day, and he looks so old now. He just looks, I don't know. He's not, to me, it's like WWE turns into a nursing home every time he comes on. He should just be off TV, you know? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Flair. Charlotte was just put into the sharpshooter. Now, Icon, you might know this, and Jason, you may know this as well. You guys seem like trivia guys. Is Natalie actually related to the Harts, or is she just trained?
Yeah,
Natalia
is Jim Anvil's daughter. Bret Hart is her uncle, of
okay.
course. And Stu Hart would be her grandfather. You know, and to be honest, she's one of the best-looking third generation Hearts there is, in my humble opinion, you know.
Now, did they just end Raw with Natalie holding the belt up in the air? Did they just end with a – is that – I mean, no, again, no offense. I don't want the women's feminist movement to, you know, write into the show and write us nasty letters and things. But did they just end the show with a Divas title being hoisted in the air and not the world
yep.
title? Wow.
What does that show
kinda...
you about the direction of where this is going?
Yep.
I mean, right now, I think they know. I think they're smart now. They know that the best storylines that they have right now are the Divas storylines. Or actually, we can't call them the Divas anymore, the women's division. And I think that they know that those are the most exciting matches. Those are the best matches. And they're joking it. But boy, when's the last time you've seen a women's title match or a women's match be – you know, sort of held up on the end, to end the show.
That was
I mean,
that would be Lita and Trish Stratus. Was the last time I can remember a women's championship match ending Raw was.
Yep.
Lita
and it was 2000 with a single digit at the end of it. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. So wow.
So we're talking 16, 15 years ago, 14
yeah.
years ago.
That's the last time I remember it. And you know, I think, honestly, guys, that they have really devalued the WWE title right now. I really think that being the WWE champion doesn't matter all that much anymore, unfortunately. And I think that, you know,
which
it's kind
is
of
what
a shame.
Further defends the comments Jason and I made that Dean Ambrose is carrying the company, not the champion.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
I know.
Which
Dean
back
Ambrose.
In the day, the champion would always carry.
Of course.
Dean Ambrose
yeah.
become champion. That's
he
that's
won't
really
become champion. They're not going to put the belt on him. They've had what 5, 6, 7 opportunities to put the belt on Ambrose, and they just refused to do it. You know, and I don't know why.
I mean, that's what happened to Reigns. They built it up. They screwed him. They screwed him over. They screwed him over. Gave him the title. Screwed him over again. Now he's got the title. Now fans don't like it. You know.
Why not take it off him? Why not make him a champion for 3, 4, 5 months and just force it down our throats? If you want what's best for business, at this point, see Jason and
they
Justin
gotta be they gotta be pushing a Rollins Roman Reigns feud. They gotta.
It maybe has to be.
Rollins will come back as a babyface, won't he?
Well,
not.
Well, he's gonna
come
back.
So.
He's gonna come back. Yeah. He'll come back wanting his title, right? Being like, you know, I never lost it, and I want what's mine. You're holding my belt. All the generic lines, which is what I'm afraid of, is that it's going to be so boring. I wanted something else. I wanted something more. I wanted, you know, the Shield return. I wanted gang warfare, you know, and I don't think they're going to give that to us. I think it's going to be very watered down. Rollins coming back. This is my title. Give it back, and then, you know, he'll be in the next pay-per-view, and it'll be as quick as that. It won't be any hard thought, nothing. it'll literally just be that. And that's what I'm worried about. When you've got the Divas title held in the air at the end of Raw, that's when you know your company is officially belly up.
Wait, so Dustin, did you know that, or did you just go based on what I told you? Because I know that you've been boycotting the company for a while.
I just heard what you said. I haven't watched Raw.
Yeah, Natalie, basically it was a contract signing, I believe, for Extreme Rules between Natalie and Charlotte. And,
yeah, that's,
Shane
an,
and,
that's a main event thing, a contract signing
yeah,
for the women's
exactly.
championship.
Exactly, and Shane and Stephanie were out there, and then Ric Flair comes out there, and then they beige their piece, and Charlotte said her piece, and Ric Flair bounced off the ropes and did his whole limousine riding, jet flying thing, and did his version of hulking up, you know what I'm talking about, and and Stephanie slapped him.
We've been watching that since the 70s.
Exactly, and, and Stephanie slapped him, and then Charlotte went after Stephanie, and Natalie put her in the sharpshooter, and Ric Flair rolled out of the ring, and Charlotte tapped out, but of course it wasn't a match, but she was tapping, put her in the sharpshooter. We got a good panty shot because a little bit of her pink thong was hanging out of her leather pants, so that was probably the best part of the segment. And then puts her in it, she's tapping out, and then she rolls out of the ring, and all you see is holding up the women's belt, and it was on mute, so I didn't hear Michael Cole, you know, shamble his way through it. But,
this is the worst Raw ever. Thank you for watching.
She was holding it up, and I believe if it was on low volume, I heard Michael Cole say that it was, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen on Sunday? You know, Natalie and I believe I remember correctly, he was like, Natalie just made Charlotte submit. Will she make her tap on Sunday? Extreme Rules Sunday. Find out. You know, and then it went off air, and you just see Natalie holding the belt up. And I'm like, really? A contract signing for the women's title was how they ended Raw? And that was one of the things I love so much about the era that we were previously talking about, was it was always something crazy. It was always big names, whether it was Angle, The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold, The Undertaker. It was somebody that was the big-time name in the company would end the show. And it was usually JR screaming about something, you know. They would always end, you know, with a, by God, you know, what the hell's going to happen on Sunday? Like, you know, and it was just would make it – oh, gee, that hurt my voice to do that. Would make it that much more exciting. Be like, God damn, you know, what is going to happen on Sunday? You know, not Michael Cole, like, tune in to Extreme Rules on Sunday. Oh, my gosh. You know,
is starting to become so predictable. You already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, Charlotte's going to lose the belt. And Roman Reigns is going to – now, I don't know. Here's another beef that I have. We'll get into the juicy dating rumors in a second here to end off our show. I figured we'll end with a chick thing, just like Raw did. But why are they giving AJ – now, I know AJ Styles was the guy in TNA for a long time. He was the top dog. He was, in fact, TNA. I actually, for a while, would watch TNA of a cord ball because I thought TNA had great storylines, great action, still had violence, still had the chair shots, the blood, the whole thing. I know that AJ Styles was the man in TNA. He's been in the company for a little over a month, maybe 2 months now. Why are you giving AJ a title shot? You know, I mean, I know he was beefing with Jericho and he beat Jericho and that kind of put him over, but why are you giving AJ Styles a title shot at a pay-per-view right now? I mean, should he have to come in and earn his keep like everybody else? You're going to give Ambrose, I think I've counted 7 opportunities to get the belt, not give it to Ambrose, but have a guy who's been in the company for 2 months a title shot? And I'll tell you, I'm going to be so pissed if WWE wakes up and they go, you know what? The crowd loves AJ. They hate Roman. Let's get the belt on AJ. No, put it on Dean.
No, you can't do that.
But I think that's what's going to happen. Unfortunately, I really do. I think
well,
that they're going to
have Roman Reigns go after AJ Styles. Then.
Yeah.
I mean, Ambrose go after AJ Styles. Then.
And yeah, if they give it to Dean, they might have Dean take it off of AJ. You know, but why?
That would be a perfect idea then. You know, then Seth Rollins and him can have a soiree.
True. Or Rollins could come in and say, you've been in the company for 2 months.
I've never lost the title. Why do you, who's a rookie in my eyes, I know you're not a rookie, but you're a rookie in my eyes, why do you have my belt? And then Rollins can beat AJ, and then Ambrose can beat Rollins, and that's how they give it. That I mean, it might take till this time next year, but that might be what they might want to do here. So who knows? I mean, who the hell really knows? But
can I make a bold prediction?
Yeah, I can make a prediction, and you can make a prediction first. But yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to make a bold prediction that Dean Ambrose will become world champion by SummerSlam, the end of SummerSlam.
Mm.
I'm going to throw that up right
now. Who's he going to beat for the belt? Is it still going to be Rollins? Still going to be Roman Reigns at that point?
No.
Okay.
It'll come down between him and Seth Rollins after when it's all
okay.
said and done.
So, do you think that Extreme Rules goes off the air with Roman Reigns holding his belt up again and everybody booing? I mean, will this be like the fifth straight pay-per-view where they go off the air with boos?
Yes.
And
I do.
You know it's bad when WrestleMania, that is, you know, the crown jewel of this sport, goes off the air with boos. You know that when you have a crowd booing at the end of WrestleMania, you're doing something wrong. So,
right.
You know, a lot of the time when the crowd didn't like something back in the Attitude Era, let's say they did end a pay-per-view like a WrestleMania. In fact, they did when I believe it was WrestleMania 2001, I believe it was, when Stone Cold attacked The Rock with the chair lined with Vince. The crowd booed. They didn't boo Stone Cold. They booed Vince. But either way, they went off the air with boos. That it's happened before. But a lot of the times we've seen the crowd give their reaction, and the very next night on Raw, they change it. Because I remember when Kane won the belt at 98 in the first blood match against Stone Cold, and the crowd didn't like it.
Night.
They wanted Stone Cold to win. The next night on Raw, they took it off of Kane because they wanted to give it back to Austin because the crowd didn't like it. So that
yeah, I'll never forget that night. That was a hell of a match, too. I'll never forget
yeah.
that night.
And, you know, in Albany, New York, which is where I'm from, the Pepsi Arena back is when it was called, had a lot of great things. I mean, I was at live the Stone Cold, when he the beer in the corporation, I was at that show. I was at the one where Austin signed the contract to stay with Raw during the brand extension. That was in Albany where he said April Fools and then stunned Vince. I was at that one, and I was at the New Year's Revolution when Edge won the belt for the first time and cashed in the Money in the Bank. So a lot of big things have happened in Albany. But, yeah, I just – it's so predictable. Icon has a point. It's just going to happen from a mile away. And it's just a rotting, dead carcass now. And, you know, if you're any sort of a wrestling fan like we are and you've grown up on the time period that we grew up in, it's just that was the beauty of the Attitude Era, man. You had no idea what was going to happen. And a lot of the stuff was so crazy and so out there that you were just like, wow, did that just happen? Now it's like the most exciting thing. I told you the most exciting thing that happened at Raw tonight was Charlotte's panty shot when she was in the sharpshooter. I mean, that was the most exciting part of Raw. So I don't know, man. Jason, what do you think?
Not to go off topic, but
okay.
Next week after the pay-per-view, maybe a subject mm-hmm. we can talk about is a most interesting live event you've been to. I got.
Yeah, I have a bunch.
I got plenty.
Yeah, Jason's bunch. I just named three of them, but I've got a bunch as well. But you know, I'll tell you, I didn't like live events as much as I like sitting on my couch watching them. Because, like I said, I idolized JR, and I just would watch the action, and I would see JR move, talking with his hands and pointing and doing the whole thing, watching it in the stand. But I was just like, wow, you know what? I don't. It just doesn't do it for me. I need to hear JR having a heart attack in order to have it be exciting, you know? But we're going to shift gears here. 7 minutes left in the show. News reported, and actually I didn't know about this. Jason sent me the photos earlier. Paige, who is a modern-day vampire. She's the palest person I've ever seen, besides anyway. Looking straight like something out of Twilight, is dating, at least the rumors are dating. She's at least hooking up with Alberto Del Rio. Now, Del Rio is Icon, I think he's your age. He's right around 37, 38. Paige is 22. Okay. Talk about robbing the cradle here. I mean,
what? Why?
I don't know. I mean, when Nikki Bella was dating Cena, I understand that. Nikki Bella is a smoke show. Cena's a good-looking dude. You know, all the girls I know love Cena. What I didn't understand was Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan. That I did not get, because Brie is way too hot for Daniel Bryan. But now Paige and Del Rio? I don't know. I mean, maybe he's a sweet, charming guy off the air, but Alberto Del Rio was good when he had his little announcer guy who'd be like, I can't do the title. But when he was like, Alberto Del Rio. He had his guy, and he was the heel, and he had the beef with Cena. That was good. I liked Del Rio back then. I used to drive the big fancy car in and the whole thing. That was I enjoyed that. But Del Rio hasn't done anything worthwhile in 4 years. And all of a sudden, Paige is like, oh, he's so charming. I don't get it. Jason, do you have any more knowledge about this topic? Jason, you're the one who sent it to me. Do you know any more about it?
I've never been to Alberto Del Rio, ever.
No?
Ever.
Oh,
I have no other knowledge of what else is going on, but I'm hearing they've been dating for quite some time now, and I didn't see it coming, so...
Well, it's okay, because when Trump gets elected in November, W.O. Won't be here anymore, so it's okay.
Let's not even go there about him.
Paige is going to move.
Is Trump in the WWE Hall of Fame? Got to look that up.
He might be, because he shaved Vince's head. Who knows?
He's not yet.
No, but he'll buy his way in if he gets in. But the funny thing is that you know Paige is going to be off WWE television because she's moved to Mexico because Alberto Del Rio won't be allowed to be here anymore after November. But anyway, it's one of those things where I don't get it. And so real quick, the segment we're going to end on is what were your guys' favorites? Real life WWE hookups. I already mentioned a couple of them. The Cena, Brie, Cena, Nikki Bella, Daniel
Lita
Bryan.
And Edge.
Who? Lita and Edge?
Lita and Edge.
Well, you know why? And that's a good
one.
Yeah,
that was mine too.
Lita and Edge had some heat because Matt Hardy had beef with Edge because of the Lita thing. So that was interesting. Lita was sleeping around company, that's for sure. Didn't Trish Stratus get with somebody as well? I believe was with somebody.
But you got to remember, though, because of that, they had a nice little nip slip on
I think it was
that
Christian. Moment. Christian.
Oh, Trish was with Christian? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but okay. That happened in Albany? The live sex celebration.
Yeah, it did. Albany.
Yeah, I was there for that. But anyway. Yeah, so obviously I think the biggest power couple is Triple H and Stephanie. They are the biggest real-life hookup. But everybody forgets that China was with Triple H before that in real life.
Yep.
And Stephanie was actually really with Test before that as well. So, you know, who knows? Hey, Jason, I got one for you. If you want to just close your eyes and picture this real quick. Mark Henry and Mae Young.
I knew it.
Oh, no, you didn't bring that up?
I did.
They had
I
a
did.
Hand. She gave
yes.
birth to a hand.
She did. Can you just picture those two, sexual chocolate and a knockoff Betty White going at it? I mean, Jesus. That was that one. And Terry Runnels. Terry
Vicky
Runnels.
Who?
Vicky and who?
Vicky but everybody, every young buck in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. Vicky got around, too. Oh, I forgot about that. You know what? We're going to carry this over to next week because this was a last-minute thing and a last-minute addition, and I actually am interested in this. So we're going to do some research.
Jerry and Tori Wilson.
It was who and Tori?
Tajiri and Tori Wilson.
Were they really together, though, or was that just on screen? This is best off screen. This is best real life.
Well, no, but she left Billy Kidman and went with Tajiri, though, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
True. Oh, and Sable and Mark Merrill, they were really together.
Yep. And then and Deborah
now
Stone
she's
Cold.
Now she's getting plowed out by Brock Lesnar.
The beast.
Yeah. I want what that area of her body looks like now, sleeping with Brock. But anyways, we
pour it out.
It's got to be. I mean, do you think Paul Heyman, do you think they're in the bedroom and they're going at it and you just have Paul Heyman in the background like, yeah, you're getting fucked by Brock Lesnar. You think he's back there?
Yeah, he's giving audio commentary.
I'm sorry, guys. I had to do that. On that note, we're going to sign off. Do your research for next week. I know the best couples. We're going to talk about Extreme Rules and how badly it's probably going to suck. And we're going to have a lot of great topics. Again, thank you for listening. One of the top listened to shows on our network. Again,
we'll
want to thank all the fans for that. And we'll be back next Monday. Scotty Icon will be back. Jason will be here. Hopefully Dustin will come back, but maybe not. And remember, when you look at Sable and Playboy, just think the big slong of Brock Lesnar. We'll be back.